Okay, tonight our speaker Gretchen will share her experience for 15 minutes on the set-aside prayer, among other things. Thank you for allowing us to record, and I pass it on to you.
Hi, everyone, in America and wherever you are. I'm so grateful to be here. I am just grateful to be here. I'm grateful anytime I get to talk in a Big Book Awakening meeting because it has saved my life, and I'm sure it saved yours too in some form or fashion. I am an alcoholic and an addict. My sobriety date is August 27th, 2019. I got sober right before the pandemic, and BBA has been my largest experience of recovery, and these Zoom rooms and the people here in these rooms. So I have a heart to serve this community. Such a big heart to serve this community. I can identify in so many areas: alcoholic addict, compulsive overeater, chaos creator, controller fixer, and first and last adult child of an alcoholic and an untreated Al-Anonic for many years. She got sobriety in the last probably 10 years of her life, but it took cancer for her to even start to look at my mother, for her to start to look at what emotional sobriety could mean for her. I'm grateful that I'm here today, that I'm alive today. And I just wanted to share with you a little reading from our BBA work. And it's a little bit the blurb on page 21. It starts in step, that's the end of step one and the beginning of step two. And it's Dr. Harry Thibault's writing. It says, that I'm going to read the underlying bit first. So, years of emotional sobriety are no insurance against its resurgence. No Al-Anon, or however you identify, regardless of their veteran status. I am by no means a veteran. I'm barely 2 years into talking about, thinking about emotional sobriety. Can ever relax their guard against the reviving ego. And I think about this all the time. I had a spiritual teacher that one time told me, you need to ride herd on yourself. And I thought, ride herd on myself. I'm from Texas, so riding herd is like one of those things that people do around here. But this right here explains it to me. I can never relax my guard against a reviving ego. I think we all need an ego. We have to have an ego to get across the street, to pay our bills, to do those things. But ego in its right position is happiest. When I am in my right position as an agent of God's love, not the principle, but the agent of God's love, I'm in my right position too. So I'm just going to read this next little bit. The function of surrender in Al-Anon is now clear. It produces that stop by causing the individual to say, I quit. I give up my headstrong ways. Please, please let me give up my headstrong ways. I've learned my lesson. Very often, for the first time in an individual's adult career, she has encountered the necessary discipline that halts her in her headlong pace. Actually, she is lucky to have within her the capacity to surrender. It is that which differentiates her from wild animals, not necessarily wild animals on the plains of Africa, but the wild animal that lives in me, the wild animal that lives in me. And this happens because we can surrender and truly feel, thy will, not mine, be done. Unfortunately, that ego will return unless the individual learns to accept a disciplined way of life, which means the tendency toward ego comeback is permanently checked. We're back to riding herd. This is not news to us members. We have learned that a single surrender is not enough. Under the wise leadership of our founders, the need for continued endeavor to maintain that miracle has been steadily stressed. The 12 steps urged repeated inventories, not just one. And the 12th step is in itself a routine reminder that one must work at preserving emotional sobriety. Moreover, it is referred to as the 12th step work, which is exactly what it is. By that time, the miracle is for the other person. Wow, that's wonderful. We get to read that every time we go through this work. And it never stops mattering to me when I come across this reading. But more importantly is how I use the set aside prayer in my daily practice. It is a large part of my daily practice that I set aside what I think I know for an open mind and a new experience of whatever it is. It is interchangeable. It is for me a pause long enough to remind me that I need to set aside what I think I know for an open mind and a new experience of God's will, not mine, and that it be done, and that I know it, and that sometimes it's a neon sign. It needs to be a neon sign for me because I'm stubborn and I have a headlong pace and I have so many things, but I do have the capacity to surrender. You know, I have that capacity. It's grown in me. For what used to be surrender was when life would just wrap my arm up around my back and slam my head into the table. That was surrender for so many years. And now I see through God's gentle plan as it's unfolding daily, that surrender can be a gentle process, that it can be, that I can be willing through the set aside prayer. Every time I say it, help me set aside what I think I know. That's surrender. Every time I say that, every time I say, help me set aside what I think I know for an open mind and a new experience, I am surrendering. And, you know, there's some words in Big Book Awakening that we kind of have to watch what parachutes out of our mind. One of them is surrender. Another one is I quit, because I fancied myself to never be a quitter, that I was a finisher and that I was a strong finisher. And that was kind of part of how I was brought up. You don't quit, you go till you finish. It doesn't matter how broken or battered you are, you keep going. And I've realized through this work that I don't need to be the doer anymore. That another power greater than myself, loving and caring, can be the doer, and I can be that power's agent of love. So I can't say that I do it all the time. For some of you that live in America, we just finished Thanksgiving. And we had this holiday. Holidays can be wonky for all of us, no matter what. But Thanksgiving, for sure, for me this year was a great opportunity for me to see how 6 months of emotional sobriety has shown up in me. Not always is our emotional sobriety apparent to our family members. Not always is our growth measurable to our families and our outside people that we come in contact with, but it was starkly different. My sister-in-law came from the UK, my husband, myself, and she all take care of their stepfather, who is an arrested alcoholic who lives in a group home. And the last time she was here, I was in what I think we would call an emotional bender. I was managing, I was controlling, I was coming at it just like it says in the Jekyll and Hyde, that I was coming at it sweet and nice. And then in the next moment, I was coming at it hard and fast and angry and using everything in my chaos creating arsenal to manage my family. And I really made some big changes with God's help over this 6 months time, so that when she was here again in town, still visiting this arrested alcoholic that we're all caring for, I was able to surrender to God's will, to surrender to the process, her process, whatever that was, and to not feel the need to control the dynamic. Now, I can't say that that energy didn't rise. It rises. It rises all the time. But what's different is that I can really utilize this set aside prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about Roberta for an open mind and a new experience of her, of him, of the 12 steps, of my recovery, of how sometimes doing nothing is doing something in certain situations in my life. But it has really been through this process of repeated surrender through the use of our set aside prayer that has given me so much peace. It's given me peace, really day to day. It's given me hour to hour, moment to moment. It is my pause and pray moment. I also feel so Grateful to the work that I'm doing in ACA right now. It gives me an opportunity to kind of work with any kind of negative mindset that's coming in or any punitive ways that I speak to myself. And basically, through someone's wise advice, if it's not loving, it's not God. And I really use that all the time. If whatever message is coming into me is not loving, then it's not God. And I can surrender to what I think I know, surrender what I think I know about how I should look, how I should act, how I should be in the world for an open mind and a new experience. Because if it's not loving, it's not God. And that just works with just my thought processes and starting to as a just a fledge, just a tiny little baby bird in the nest of this emotional sobriety, to start to run herd on myself, to ride herd on myself and my thoughts and thinking. Because for so long, my higher power was me. It was me. I was my higher power. My self-reliance was my higher power. What I thought I knew was my higher power. And through just 6 months' time of working with others, staying in meetings that are really hard, and I know you know this too, that this process of working with Big Book Awakening, it started with drugs and alcohol. And I thought, if that's removed, then everything's going to be okay. But this is such a process of drilling in. And this process of drilling in happens through our work with the 12 steps, and then eventually happens when we're starting to work with steps 10 and 11. And then it also is part of our work with others. And I know if you're working with others, you see the mirror of yourself in your friends and your fellows. And through that mirror, we're able to once again let go and surrender of what we think we know about ourselves, what we know about this other person that we're going through this process with. And it gives me a tremendous amount of hope to think that, that spiritual experiences are happening for me all the time. And what I thought was a spiritual experience and what is a spiritual experience for me now are two different things. I really was of the mind that it would be this white light experience and everything would be okay. But spiritual experiences for me, that I lasted 10 days with my sister-in-law and did not move to manage the situation. I just let it unfold as it unfolded, and that everything was in its right place. And I actually believed it. I didn't just like white knuckle it and grit my teeth through it, but I was able to believe that what is happening now is exactly as it should be, and that I didn't need to be anywhere else at that time. I didn't need to worry about the past. I didn't need to manage the future, that I could be exactly where my feet are. And that's a direct correlation to the work that we do here. And it doesn't undermine any of the other work that I did before. I think there's certain things that have to line up in our lives so that we're ready, so that the soil is ready and the seed is planted, and then we can grow ourselves in this new way. I really believe that this manifest realm that we all live in is a place of growth. We have to grow. We have to grow or die. And we grow and die both at the same time. But this growth is happening now through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has been such a gift to me. It's such a gift to you. I know it is. And I really use it. I use it with people that I work with when they're having a hard time, because what I know is that I don't know. I don't know what's going to be good for you. I don't know really what's going to be good for me. But we can go to a place in the book and read together, and God miraculously will diffuse the situation for that person, or for me, or for both of us, dependent. But it comes back to what I think I know, that for me, what I thought I knew, this knowledge that I had in my head from 30 years of yoga teaching, from all of the spiritual studies that I've done in the past, all of this knowledge that I had did not distill down or filter down into experience. So I had this one really strong arm of knowledge and this really weak arm of experience. Sort of reminds me of like arm wrestlers. If you've ever seen an arm wrestler in real time, they have one giant arm and one normal size arm. And that's how I felt like I was. I had a lot of knowledge, but I didn't know how to get that knowledge into my day-to-day life and how that's happened. How God has opened the highway for me is through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and through working with others and through humbling myself and asking for help and for giving myself permission to cry, to do it wrong, to circle back and begin again. I mean, I'm not sure that I'm ever going to be perfect at emotional sobriety. I don't think that I'll probably maybe be regarded as a veteran status in this work. And frankly, I don't want to be a veteran in this work. I want to remain I want to remain in beginner's
5 minutes,
mind.
Gretchen.
Thank you so much. I want to remain in beginner's mind where I am awed and I am grateful and I am hopeful. And that's how I feel now, where you know, before I got sober, I was not hopeful. I thought hope was just a silly word. And now I really feel hope springing. But it's also a double-edged sword, isn't it? Hope. Hope is a double-edged sword. You know, you feel hopeful, but sometimes there's not always the best situations. But I can feel hopeful in those situations, those adversity situations, those family of origin dramas that come up, especially during the holiday time, to work changes, to let myself not be as rigid as I used to be around so many things. And discipline is one of those other words that kind of, we have to watch what parachutes out of our mind around discipline. But I see this work as a framework for practice. And that's all this is to me. I don't have to get caught up in what discipline means or how I think that God is disciplining me, because he's always been gentle. My higher power has been gentle. Situations may not have been gentle, but the learning in these situations has been gentle and at my capacity. As our capacity grows in this work, this spiritual framework for practice that we've been building, working the 12 steps and continuing in our inventory, allows me to move through life's adversities in a new way, with an open mind and a new experience of all of these things, life on life's terms as it's coming at me. And it has really, this work in the last four and a half years of my life has really helped me integrate what I thought I knew into a practical understanding and experience of my own life, my own mind, how my mind works, who's speaking, how I can interact with that part of myself that's speaking negatively to me through, is it loving? If it's not loving, it's not God. And that drops it. I don't have to know any more than that. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity to be here. I'm hopeful that I was able to say something of use to you good people. And yeah, that's really all I have. Just thank you for letting me share. And hi, Joni. And yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gretchen. I'm going to stop recording.